Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We want to welcome all the other campuses of Springs Church who are joining us. Good to see you. Good to have you with us. Let's pray. God, touch each of us today. For every mind that is here that is overrun, Father, with whether it's fear or something's going on in their life, during this time today, let there be a peace. Let there be an ability for Holy Spirit to touch them, heal them, speak to them, guide them, help them through into their next chapter, I pray. Amen and amen. I entitled my message today, Reality and Discernment. Reality and Discernment. We live in a world that when you get done grade 12, if you go on into university, the professors feel like it is their job. I know because we have professors that attend our church who are believers, but many of them feel it's their job to disassemble the beliefs of the students that come in and to look at their worldview and to give them an expanded worldview or whatever that person. And some of them are just evil, okay, some, at just literally taking apart the belief systems or taking apart the way they think. We find in Christianity that some of the stats show as high as 85% of our teenagers from grade 12 into university begin to completely lose out on their relationship with Christ, the Judeo-Christian principles that help them found their lives, their parents, their grandparents. And a couple of things I want to talk about, because once you use the word reality, you are moving into an area where they have literally changed the vernacular, the English language. So they use, it goes like this. My reality is, okay, whoa. There's more than one reality. Oh, yes. She's got a reality, and he's got a reality, and I've got a reality, and, well, I believe in Jesus. Good for you. That's your reality. And it literally destroys the ability to speak truth, because this is my truth. What's your truth? Oh, that's your truth. This is my truth. What's your truth? And so they've taken the English language, and they've destroyed it, because there isn't more truth. There's truth. And you've got to be careful as a believer, because when you begin to wonder, what do I stand for? What do I believe? And then in everyday life, because today as I talk about reality, what is the reality of your life? If your reality of it, their terms, or your perception of what's going on is not accurate, then you're walking out a deception. But if we call it reality, you will stay in that deception even as you crash and burn relationships, your mind, your body, companies, situations, families. To call your perception reality, I understand why they do, but it can take you in places that will destroy you. To call what you think your truth, if your truth is a deception, is to walk out deception until you crash on the rocks of that wave. And so for today as we talk, I might use those terms interchangeably, but right at the introduction, I want you to understand that we must question what we think. Do you believe what you think? If your answer is yes, you're in trouble. I was training a group of senior pastors overseas, and we were talking about this ability, well, I call it spirit contemporary, this ability to present the gospel, to present Christ to people in a contemporary way. Because if we just do it the way they did 100 years ago, there's a whole bunch of new questions that have been raised, a whole bunch of new attacks. And if we're just religious, we're not going to be able to present the gospel the way God has intended it to be. And so I just said to them, okay, how many here believe that everything you do is right? Nobody would put up their hands. And I kind of laughed because I knew they wouldn't, you know, because typically we know that, of course, everything I do is. But then I said, well, then that means there's things you do that are wrong. And if you know that, then you're a fool. And they were kind of grappling with that. I said, so let's take the middle ground and say that there are things you think is right, and you will move on the things you think are right, but they could be totally wrong. That's why the Bible says, my people perish, my people are destroyed, my people get off track, my people are, you know, death and destruction enters their life, not for a lack of prayer, not for a lack of faith, not for a lack of love. One word, for a lack of knowledge. There are things you and I do not know. There are beliefs that we have picked up in our lives that we superimpose upon our lives, and we interpret them that way, and we're deceived.
What do you mean deceived?
Well, have you ever tried to talk to somebody who knows they're right even when they're wrong, but there's a stubbornness to them? You can talk all you want. You can show them the proof. And it just, whatever, that's your truth. This is my truth. Like, we literally have developed a society that we really think that's true. Wouldn't it be interesting to go, if we use that for sciences, we had a chief engineer on the shuttle, you're going up on the shuttle, and one engineer says, you know, this is my truth, that's his truth, but we decided, you know, is there a truth or not as to how we put a rocket in space? Of course there is. And when you don't know it, you pay the price till you learn it. The same is true in psychology. The same is true mentally, physically, emotionally. The same is true in our world, eternity. You know, they're really messing with reality. Like, and I'm not going to go in this direction. Like, the sciences would look at it and say, well, what is reality, Leon? Because the space that you're in right now, you weren't in just 5 minutes ago. The space was back behind the soundboard. And so really, are you really there? Because it depends upon space and time. And they'll develop, and they begin to go deeper and deeper until their brain kind of goes, and they wonder why they're depressed. And so I understand that, yes, for sciences we need to learn all these kinds of things, but when it comes to what you believe, that is outside. When it comes to, you know, how was the world created, and when you look at people and you judge them, judging your own spouse, you know, they don't love me anymore, and they're just like this, and they're like this, and we tend to judge people. And so the ability to discern what is truth, the ability to discern what is really happening here, what is reality, if we go the way of the modern soothsayer that's out there, the New Age, and many of the names we see on TV, you literally begin to move to a place that causes destruction. It may bring temporary relief. I was chatting with a lady about meditation. I was in a sports shop, and I think it was in Banff or wherever I was, and she was looking at mats, and she, oh, this is my meditation mat. And I said, this is a beautiful place to meditate, man. You go down to the river, the mountains, and I know, I just love it. And you meditate? I said, I meditate. No way. So yeah, how do you meditate? Oh, and then she explained how that, you know, the positions and what she's involved in with Zen Buddhism, and how that she loves to find that moment of nothingness, that moment of peace, where everything around her just disappears. I was waiting, and I said, doesn't it suck when you get up, roll up your mat, and all your problems come right back? I know. I said, have you heard of the new meditation? There's a new meditation? Oh, I said, absolutely. I said, there's a meditation of focusing on God's principles. And the principle isn't to go to nothingness. The principle is to meditate into truth. And then peace becomes yours to get up and leave with, even though you're no longer meditating. Get out. I said, you can be depressed and unhappy. And with this form of meditation, which is from the Hebrews, you know, when you go back in time from the Old Testament of the Bible, there's just locked away hidden truths in the Bible that religion has just messed up, and she's just locked on. And we just had a talk. I just explained to her what Christian meditation looks like. And I'm not going to go into that message right now, but the world has little glimpses of peace, little moments of true happiness, little that they can never hang on to, because happiness comes from happenings, but joy is an internal fixture, structure, system. It's a real thing because Jesus is there, and you renew your mind. So what is, when we start talking about these things, I want to go into so many directions, but in John chapter 1, verse 17, it says this: for the law was given by Moses. And the law was pretty cool. If you build a country on the Ten Commandments and the laws of Moses, you get countries that just prosper and are phenomenal. I mean, America, Canada, England, Australia, they've all got lots of problems, but go pick another country where they'll stone women for having a bad thought or an education. Go where, you know, where kids are like, you own them, you can take them, kill them, whatever you want. Like, what thinking pattern, what religious belief has formed that government's culture of that country? And you'll find that the commandments are amazing, because that's our legal system, that's our judicial system, this is our government system. The foundation, anyway, is from the Ten Commandments of the Bible, which are incredible, and they're good for our lives as too. But the problem is, no one can fulfill them. So the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. I had to make a decision in my life at one time, because everybody says they have the truth. Every religion says they have the truth. Everywhere you go, people are looking for truth. And so you've got all these new authors who they'll grab one thought and they'll walk it through the book, and there's wisdom in it, but they still don't know where to go and how to tie all these parts together. I mean, all truth, if it's truth, is parallel, but the issue is, can you connect all the dots of all this, you know, all these beliefs? So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can I be that sure? Because if you've got your truth and I've got my truth, and Jesus got his truth and God's got his truth, and Buddha's got his truth and Muhammad's got his truth, and we all got truth, we all got reality, what a mixed up batch of human beings we are walking on the planet. What is truth? And you'll have to decide at some point. I made a decision after studying the Bible, you know, looking at the Quran, looking at Buddhism, looking at a lot of the New Age stuff, looking at, you know, the sciences, studying the mind, and in my life, just looking at all these things. And at some point, years ago, I recognized that when you look at religion, for example, and it's just of the mind, what's truth, where do we go with this? But then when you see Jesus, who is truth, he didn't just argue with the people, he produced miracles. And so he is the way, and he'd walk on water. He'd heal people. Today, miracles are still found in Christianity around the world. Not as much in the first world, but phenomenally so in the third world, where they still don't think they're smarter than God. And they're still open. So Jesus came, and when you look at the Bible and you begin to study the truths, the Bible's never been disproved. I've read the best out there who attack it, but for every book you read attacking the Bible, go read somebody who stands up for the Bible, and it's amazing. When you realize that 80% of the prophecies in the Bible, there's something that'll blow your mind, come to pass exactly in the city with the person the way the Bible predicted. And so I made a decision years ago in my life that I would see Jesus as the truth. He is the way. He is the truth. And he is the life. Now, you and I can get along if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Muslim. We can get along, whatever your sexual orientation. None of those things change my love, acceptance, and hanging out and having a good coffee. None of that changes all that. But for me, and how I raise my family, my children, I cannot go to them and say, what's your truth? You'll have to discover that on your own. No. Parenting is the equipping of children with truth. Parenting is training and raising them up in the nurture and the admonition of God. And to not recognize that we must train them to love, accept, and forgive people on this planet, because no two people are always going to believe the same things. But now, as far as our family, as the jailer said in the New Testament, as for me and my house, or Joshua said it too, we will serve the Lord. How do we do that? We learn his principles. We find out who he is, and we're going to follow him. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. But don't train them to hate. Don't train them to disregard. Don't train them to disrespect. Don't train them to be condescending, to look down. Come on. We're reaching beautiful, amazing, wonderful people who just need to know Jesus, know the truth. And so you're going to come to a part where if you're here and you just want to take a piece of the Bible here and a piece of the Bible there and Zen Buddhism there, and we're going to take a little bit of stuff over here from, you're going to find that somewhere in your life it's going to get complex, it's going to get complicated, and you're not going to bear results. The man, the God who designed your mind, gave you a software system for it. Okay? A lot of things they don't know about the Bible, modern psychology, is because there's so many programs and things in there that are hidden. That as you study and read, they clothe your mind with peace. They bring a joy, a sense of future of Jesus. And I just wanted to say this as we dive into this topic, that at some point you have to decide Jesus, yes or no. And you say, well, Leon, I believe in Jesus, a good man and a prophet. Impossible, you can't do that. Why not? Because he said he was the Son of God. He said he was the only way. He said he was the only life. So he's either a complete idiot or he's the Son of God. There are no in-betweens because of what he said. And I think he said them so that people couldn't just use him as just a wise man. We're going to take a few principles from him. Because truth. So what's your reality? Well, if you don't deal with what real truth is in your marriage, you will superimpose your beliefs of who your spouse is on them. And you will hold them in prison in your relationship because you have judged them, which you're not supposed to do, which is judging the motives and the intentions of the heart. You have judged them, and that relationship will never grow between you and them till you release that judgment, talk, and allow this relationship to grow. Because that relationship, now they can grow in all their other relationships, but with this one they can't. Wherever you have judged, judgment is when you have asked the question, why are they like this? And that's a whole other topic. I'm getting so many different areas here. So we must recognize that you shouldn't judge. You need to judge actions, but you don't judge the motives and the intentions. Well, he didn't just lie. He's a liar. Now, you know, you don't know what he is. You know he lied. Good. That's all you need to know to not do business with him. You don't need to know, this man's a liar. No. I don't tell my kids, you lied. You're a liar. No. One is a problem. The other is a complete destiny. You know, liar is who they are. So when it comes to the reality of how you look at the world, you know that where you form your beliefs are two ways. You form the beliefs, your worldview, how you look at people, men, women, God, how you look at money, how you look at sex, how you look at raising kids, how you look at church, how you look at religion. All of these worldviews, this is your worldview. It is formed by repetition of the people that raised you, the culture, the city, the town, the religion, and also from the traumatic things that happened to you. When anything happens to you that causes a great emotion, strong emotion, you form beliefs right there. And they're almost always wrong. These beliefs are heart beliefs. No wonder the Bible says that you can speak to mountains and they'll move. And that mountain means the problems. The problems, the giants that are screaming at you like Goliath to David. That you could speak to mountains and they won't. But just don't doubt in your head. No, you can't doubt in your heart. Your head's always going to go up and down. But your heart is the deepest beliefs. It's where your identity, your worldview has been being built over your whole life. So when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you don't deal with your worldview, you don't deal with the heart beliefs, you will think you know it all. And you'll think, yeah, I know my husband's got this problem, that I know that man like a back of my hand. No, lady, all you know are the habits he developed living with you. And all the men said, we got some brave men in the house. And the same is true the other way. I've talked to men, I know that lady, I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried that. I'm telling you right now, it's as good as it gets. Well, if I would have known. You don't know your wife. All you know about her are the habits she's developed living with you. And if those habits form heart beliefs, you lock each other into a relationship that'll never change. Because you're not open to truth. Because it disagrees with you. That's why pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Because proud people believe their own junk. They believe their own beliefs. They superimpose on every situation what they believe, and then they walk it out. And they wonder why their life is so unhappy. The only way for life to change and to grow season by season is to submit your thinking to God's Word. And to submit your life to Jesus Christ and to let him come in and change your heart. Or every decision that you make will be one that comes from your perception of the truth. What a horrible way to live. When you go into the Word of God, looking at my clock so I don't keep you here too long. When you look at God's word, there's some interesting things that are said. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, they can put that up if they have it there. It says, "But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of the use of their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." That word discern means to judge. Did you know that as you follow Christ and as you learn the word of God, that you have senses? Now, you've got five senses, but it's actually not talking about the five senses. Well, they're included. There's another sense. You might want to call it the sixth sense. You might want to call it your spirit. You might want to call it Holy Spirit, which is what is on the inside of you, guiding you. And you, it says you can discern between good and evil. You know, typical religion will say things like, "I might have the gift of discernment." No, you don't. There's no such gift. Well, yes, there is. No, there's discerning of spirits. That's one of the nine gifts, and that's not even what that is. Discernment is given to every person who becomes mature in their relationship with God. You will discern. Don't touch that relationship. That's not a good thing to do. No, we're not letting our kids go with that family. No, we're not hiring that person. There's a sensing and a knowing that come from the inside that as you grow in God and as you learn and as someone messes with your thinking, you know that almost every book that Paul wrote except one, which is half the New Testament, was dealing with wrong beliefs that kept coming against the gospel and coming into towns and cities where he had established the truth, trying to woo people away. And he even named the teachers by name, Alexander and this guy, because they would come in and it was like a demonic thing to stop this beautiful growth of getting to know Jesus and him teaching you how amazing you are and the beautiful life that was ahead of you. And then he'd get them all back into law, etc. Strong meat simply means, are you studying God's word? Are you spending time with Jesus? Because if you're not, Philian, I'm going to go to heaven. You know what? Of course, if you've given your life to Christ and you believe on him, when you die, heaven's a guarantee. But you know, the Bible actually says that you can have a lot of heaven down here now. Yeah. It does? Look at the prayer Jesus said, told us to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's just that down here, before we get to heaven, there we have an enemy. The enemy is a devil. But then we've also got this nature that we're born with that is fearful, that is sin-driven. And until we give our lives to Jesus Christ, that nature stays. But when we give our lives to Christ, that nature is replaced by a nature of love, of peace, of faith. It's God himself. So there's a complete change. And then we need to retrain this head and this body. And if we don't, then although you're going to heaven, you will still live out the deceitfulness, the perceptions that you've developed before you got saved. I'll give you an example. If you own a company, multi-billion dollar company, and your offices are in one 10-story building and everything runs out of there, and so I come along and buy the company from you. I'm the new owner. So here I come, I walk up to this 10-story building, man, all our sales teams, manufacturing, and everything else, Mark, is all here. Now, because I'm the new owner, it's new blood. Has that changed anything in the systematic structures of that business? Do I have work ahead of me? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have to walk in there and make decisions about all the directors. I'm going to look at the culture of this thing. I'm going to look at every individual leader. And in most cases, you got to find out who to fire. And if you don't fire, things stay the way they are. You walk in there, and you've got to begin to teach new culture, teach new systems, new structures. People get on board quick, and they mean it, or you fire. You let them go. And if you don't, you're never going to turn that thing around. That's like you. The spirit man deep on the inside of you. Jesus came in and made you a new creation. But the problem is, all of these thinking systems, all of these self-worth systems, all of the financial thinking, the sexual thinking, the marriage thinking, the thinking about the world, your worldview, is all still there. Which is why you've got to renew your mind according to Romans chapter 12. If you want to walk out God's best, you've got to renew your mind. You've got to get into God's word. And if you don't, look at 2 Timothy 2:26. I'm talking fast because my time was almost up. And that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Here's how Satan takes people captive. He does it with BS. Belief systems. He does it with getting you to think along a certain track. Every thought you have is like a train. You stay on that track, it's taking you somewhere. Where is it taking you? You better figure that out. That's why if truth that I hear, the Bible disagrees with it, or Jesus disagrees with it, I always move back to Christ because he's truth. I can bank my family, my home, how I raise my kids, how I treat people. And you'll notice that God's not saying you have to be this little naive Christian walk around going, you know, naive meaning, oh, yeah, well, I'm supposed to love you. Yeah, babysit my kids. How many felonies have you had? Oh, okay, well, you know, I really can't judge here. That's like ignorance gone to seed. You do judge. You judge actions. I don't need to judge your heart, okay? If you have sued the last three business partners, I'm not going into business with you. Yeah, but you can't judge. Oh, yes, I can. The Bible says we're supposed to judge your actions and your track record. What I don't judge is your heart. You're an evil man, or you are a lot. No, no, now we're judging the heart. Why did you sue three last guys? And that's none of my business. All I have to do is judge the track record to make a decision. The enemy would love to walk into your life and keep you locked into beliefs that were established when you were a child and you still can't break free from them. If you can't bear fruit, if you can't get results in some area of your life, stop screaming at the devil. Stop begging God. And go into God's Word and ask him, teach me. Teach me who I am. Teach me the will, your will in the Word. Teach me what marriage looks like. Teach me how to have a worldview that is biblical, so that in the midst of all the heartache and the hurt that this world has, and it does, that I can walk through in the strength of Jesus, with his joy, with his ability to walk this thing out. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for everything. In life, you're going to go through seasons. Your grandparents die, your parents die, you die. You know, financial problems rise up. Economic issues. If you're a Christian in Syria, you've had to run for your life. We always think we have a Canadianized gospel. There are Christians around the world dealing with different things. But in the midst of the storm, in the midst of what goes on, if you have not taken your faith and anchored it on Jesus Christ, the solid rock I stand, if you have not anchored him on there, then somewhere in your life, when you lose something, when you go through so much hurt that it changes every belief you've got, because you have not been founded on Christ. And the enemy will move you off, and he'll ensnare you with new thinking patterns, new thought patterns. And recognize that to be a student of the Word, to get in there and understand what the Bible teaches and says, it's not just to find out what you can and can't do. One guy said to me one time, okay, you're the pastor, right? Yeah. Okay, before I come here, just tell me what I can and can't do. Then we'll know right off if I'm going to come. I said, oh, well, I don't have a list. Oh, everyone's got a list. I said, I don't. I said, come as you are. We accept you as you are. And I said, oh, so I get to pick? Yep, it's your life. You got free will. You can pick whatever you want. Wow. I said, but every decision you make has got consequences. Every belief you have has got consequences. So you're living them out. But we'll teach you truth. And you make those decisions. I don't force people or make people. But the scripture is so beautiful because it's designed that as you get to know Jesus, and you begin to give an honest look into God's Word, that everything you desire will flow in the right way. Every desire you've got, a desire for sex, a desire to be important, a desire for friendship, a desire for peace, a desire to have a life that's significant, all of those things he's got answers for and how to answer it in a way that'll last a lifetime and grow into beautiful areas. But we always think, well, God's not going to help me. He's not fast enough. I'm going to do it my way. I have to close right now, but I want to just hopefully in this short message just help you to understand that getting out to church on Sunday mornings and being a part, because Jesus is the one that started church. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell won't prevail against it. What is church? It's a place for us to come together to discuss. Besides the service, we've got groups and things going on all through the week for you to meet people, hang with people, for you to discuss, to learn, to grow. Because if you don't touch these areas of your deepest beliefs, these subconscious beliefs, these heart beliefs, if you don't keep dealing with them, then you are never going to walk out. The Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. What area of your life have you not acknowledged God? Oh, I'm going to go to heaven. I gave Him my heart. Good for you. Have you acknowledged Him in marriage? Have you acknowledged Him in money? Have you acknowledged His ways in this area? What area? You just hang on to. That's the area that'll hurt you. Because truth sets you free. Deception always snares you. A snare keeps you from where you're going. Again, stop screaming at the devil as though he's doing it. Stop begging God as though he's stopping it. And recognize he's given you all things, Peter says, that pertain to life and godliness. And if you don't deal with your BS belief systems, if you don't deal with your perceptions of every situation, if you don't stop judging the people in your circle, from your parents to your spouse to your friendships to your pastor, if you don't stop judging them and you judge them to keep your beliefs alive, understand? You have to judge them in a way that keeps you intact with your present beliefs, because it shakes us up when our beliefs have changed. You know, if you've been here for a while and you thought you knew the Bible, and all of a sudden I took on a topic and took it apart, and you went, oh, it's kind of a frightening thing to have a strong heart belief that begins to change. You have to be strong enough, courageous enough to say, I want to know truth, because John 8:32 says, when you know truth in an area, it sets that area free, and you begin to grow and develop as never before. Jesus, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Choose Jesus. Don't live your life where it's a smorgasbord. You're going to get a little piece of it. Choose Him, and He'll take you further in your career, your family, your home, your thinking, your joy. The Bible says clearly, the kingdom of God, which is what we join when we give our life to Christ, is not meat and drink. He's talking about rules there, all the rules that Jews had to deal with meeting and drink and how far you could walk. There's like 630 of them. He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink and all those rules. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. My challenge to you today, there's some of you really mature Christians, you've been plateaued for years, you've been locked in the same chapter of your life for how long? Because you think you know. That's what we're like as human beings. And you've got to make a decision. You've got to submit your thinking to God and say, God, I need to change. I need to grow. I need to stop judging my spouse, my kids, you, God, family, everybody else, and just decide, I'm open. Help change me. Because it's how I see things. It's what I believe that impacts me. Nobody else can stop me from knowing joy. Not my kids, not my wife, not the devil, not you. Nobody can impact my self-worth. Not my wife, not my kids, not you, no one. This is all. I've got to take the word of God and find the freedom so that I don't give people that right, which is a wrong right. But now that I know who I am in Christ, I can turn and love people and treat people the way Jesus would treat them. Just because I've dealt with this perception, this worldview, or if you want to do the university language, your reality. How's that working for you? Father, today we've talked. We've looked at your word. I pray that all of us, including me, we'd examine our lives. There's things that I see ahead of me that I want to change in me. I pray that we'd be open to Holy Spirit, our coach, our trainer. I pray that God's word would just be downloaded through listening and reading and meditating until every belief inside of us trusts you and believes for the incredible future you've prepared for us. And God, for any person here that doesn't know you, touch them right now. Let them know they need you and that you're always for their best. With every head bowed for just a moment, I'm going to lead you in the most powerful prayer I know. It is a prayer of choosing God. You see, free will is something that God gave the human race. You may do whatever you want, whenever you want, wherever you want, unless you hurt someone and they lock you up, but free will are your choices. So you must, with your free will, choose Jesus. But when you do, he comes in and he forgives you and he washes you clean and he creates something new and a fresh start within you. And so I'm going to lead you in that prayer, a prayer of getting right with him. If you'd like to be included, and you'd say, Leon, please include me in that prayer. I need to get right with God. Would just open your eyes for a minute and all over the auditorium, just give me a quick wave before I pray, saying, yes, include me. I want to give my life to Christ. Thank you, thank you. Others, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else? Praise you, Jesus. Right now on the other campuses, there's a leader at the front right now looking for your hand. And I'm going to pray in just a few seconds. So don't miss it. Just quickly wave at them real quick and let them see your hand. And we're going to believe God. An incredible miracle is going to take place in your life today. I'm going to ask everybody to join with these amazing folks making a decision they'll never be sorry for. But let's all pray it out loud. It goes like this. Say, dear God, I give you my life. Thank you for sending Jesus who died for me. He took my sin and qualified me to be in your family, forgiven. So Jesus, come into my heart. I want to follow you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how cool, how simple, powerful that is.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.